Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
And I never would have probably tried Spam if it weren't for my dad.
I do a lot of Zumba.
Look at the meaty thighs on this Italian player.
Well, last I heard, he had some Velcro gloves and he was hanging out with some sheep in Montana.
I was freaking brothers every way like MJ.
Zardoz.
How dare you, Luis Valbuena's a national treasure.
I'm a pepper jack guy.
Well, I most definitely have a throbbing Corey Klue boner.
So you're delicious and sticky.
So you'll believe this, but I went to another Chinese restaurant this weekend. I know. And I literally do. I'll eat Chinese 2-3 times a week if I have the opportunity.
I have no problem with that.
I love it. It's so good. So much sodium. It's amazing. So anyway, I go in and it's a Saturday night. We had kind of a weird thing at work. So I had a few minutes. I took off, went in, placed my order, sat down. And it was probably a 10 or 12 minute thing because I was taking it to go, and it was a really nice dish instead of just like your standard like cashew chicken if you're from Springfield, or General Chicken or whatever. So anyway, I'm waiting, and another
General Tso
and his chicken, spicy chicken. That's my go-to if I buy, you know, boring chicken.
Me too. Van likes his chicken spicy.
I do. So I'm waiting there. A couple more guys come in and order, and they happen to be, like me, white and bland, I guess is what I would say. So the people running the restaurant are Korean, as we discussed on one of our other podcasts. So anyway, they call for somebody for the order, and they give out an order to the guy who came in behind me, and he leaves, and I'm still sitting there, and I wait for a few minutes, and then they call me for the order, and I open it, I get it, and I get out to my car, and I check it. It's a completely different order. It's not what I ordered. So I go in and mentioned it, and what I kind of deduced through this little conversation is that they mistook me for the other guy. Now, let me explain that the other guy may have been white and bland, but he was like 5'5" and wearing a bright yellow like parka, whereas I was wearing just like black. And as you know, I'm huge. I'm 6'4". I really think the Korean guy couldn't tell the difference between the white people. Like, I really think he thought they all looked the same, which, you know, I'm going to say that we get away with a lot, so I'm okay with this one. That one doesn't bother me too much.
You're going to take one for the white people team.
That's right.
All right. Well, we are a bunch of white guys here. Welcome back to the Nasty Cast, everybody. Episode 137. What a way to start off season 5.
A little casual racism. That's how we roll. Well, at least that's how
Lovely.
I roll.
Yeah. That was the problem with that. The only problem that I have now is that I really want some Chinese, like super bad.
You say that's a problem? That's a benefit. Anytime I want Chinese, it's a good thing because I get Chinese.
Well, it could be a problem for him because it's negative 100 degrees and there's 8 feet of snow on the ground. So
sometimes they deliver. You don't know.
Yeah, the Chinese delivery guys are just like, you know, hanging up as soon as I ask for delivery. Like, screw you. I'm not going out there in this crap.
All right. So your go-to is General Chicken. What do you do, Ron? What's your go-to for your Chinese restaurant?
Honestly, I'm not a huge Chinese
Get off the show.
Guy.
You're done.
I'm sorry.
You're
done. I know. I knew that was going to be very popular. But I will say when I do, I'm a Kung Pao guy.
Okay. All right.
So.
I mean, you're dead to me, but okay. Sure.
Well, you know, that's the risk I took with my honesty, so.
And that's been season 5 of the Nasty Cast, everybody. We'll catch you next year with new hosts. Today is the first base preview. We will bring on Tim McLeod here in a little bit, who's been on the show pretty much every year since his inception. One of the best guys in the industry, a man I'm lucky enough to call my friend. And it's always a hoot talking to him. And he did not disappoint. You might say he went all over the diamond.
Indeed.
Covered everything.
Very much so, yes.
So you guys do not want to miss that. I had a blast. But before we get to him and our first base preview, we got some housekeeping to get out of the way here. The Twitter. Please follow us on Twitter and tweet at us. We do a mailbag segment at the end of the show. And it's at the end of the show because I forgot to do it at the top of the show. And so normally it will probably be at the top of the show. So if you have any questions for us next week, we're talking second base. And you can tweet at us at NastyCastBGFS, or I am at Nathan Dokken because that is my name. I'm your host. And Van is at Manly Van Lee. Ron is at The Real Maday, M-A-D-A-Y. And of course, Tim McLeod, if you don't already follow him, you need to. It's at Timothy LMC, although he's normally on Facebook in the Prospect 361 group. So if you are not a part of that, then you need to be, because that is a fantastic group. We all have a lot of fun with it.
And a great resource.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. If you're looking to join a league, there's always people, you know, looking on there. And, you know, if you just post, hey, I need a league, then you'll probably get a bunch of responses as well. Hey, I've got an opening. So there's that. And you get trade opinions, all that kind of fun stuff. So excellent resource there. Also, as far as our show goes, please rate and review us on iTunes. It will be the only way that you can get into the 2018 podcast league. So there's... it's never too soon to leave us a 5-star rating and review if you love us, and hopefully you do. Also, we're looking for sponsors for the podcast for 2018, so hit us up if you want to reach our audience. And finally, I'll turn this over to you, Van, but we might have some Patreon action going on this year.
We will, yeah. We kind of want to see if we can get, you know, just a little something for this. We're not looking to make bank by any means, but if we can get a little bit of cash out of this and invest it back in the podcast via advertisement or giveaways or anything, that would be great. So we're going to be starting a Patreon likely within the next week or two. I haven't quite gotten that finished up. And for those who want to provide us with a gift via the Patreon, we're going to have a lot of fun stuff. I'd like to work on basically a draft guide that has the three of us and our opinions, as well as what else do we discuss? Oh, the positional ranking episodes. Ron and I are going to do those
bonus episodes.
Yeah, starting I think we said a week or two from now. So we'll get those out, and at the very least, the Patreon supporters are going to have first access. We haven't quite decided on that, but we're going to have a lot of stuff on there. I'm hoping to get some prizes to give away and stuff like that. And another thing I was thinking about, which I haven't really discussed with you guys, but now's the best time to do it, is like advice. So if we get a Patreon supporter who, you know, donates X amount and they want to get strict advice quickly from us, hey, maybe we can do that. You know, that way you get direct contact with us. Anyway, there's a lot of options. And if you have suggestions like that, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Manly Banley. And I wanted to point out that based on our rundown here, the Twitter handles kind of fall apart as they go along. Like first we have at Nathan Dawkin, which is Nathan Dawkin. Then we have at Manly Vanley, which is my name, but it also has some stuff on it. And then it just has at The Real Maday, which has nothing to do with Ron's name.
But then again, it does, though, if you know the story. So
yeah, it does. Yeah. So basically, yeah. Patreon, keep an eye out for that. The Nasty Cast is back. We're going to be doing this every week. We'll be doing our standard redraft focus on it. We'll have guests throughout the off season. It's going to be an exciting time. This is going to be the first full season with not only me, but also Ron. Of course, Nathan, you are the Nasty Cast. You're the man. You've been around the whole time. So it's going to be the same product that you've been putting out for years, except with my annoying jokes and Ron's awesome advice.
Yeah, except for the Patreon ones, which I will not always be a part of. I won't promise to be on all of them, although I will probably try and drop in a time or two. But what is really, I think, the most pressing matter is the fact that I put a typo in this rundown. Episode. It's episode 137. See, and that drives me freaking nuts. How do I do that?
I delete the headers whenever I because I don't want to waste space. I don't want to waste paper. So I didn't even see it, which is good for you, because as the English major of the group here, that would cause me to assault you violently.
Well, I'll just hurl some, you know, Chinese food at you and you'll scamper away and eat that off the floor and I'll make my escape.
Or string cheese.
That's right. Not enough cheese talk in this intro. We've got a whole season ahead of us for that. So without further ado, everybody, we're going to take a break here and come back with the great Tim McLeod.
I'm bringing Nasty.
All right. Welcome back to the Nasty Cast. And joining us now from sunny Canada, once again, from Fantasy Baseball Live podcast, the great Tim McLeod. Thank you for joining us again.
Totally my pleasure, guys. Looking forward to talking some baseball with you. Nice to know, Nate, that the weather in your neck of the woods is absolutely gorgeous, and I'm looking for more of the same in my neck of the woods tomorrow.
Yes, it's fantastic. Minus 11 wind chill, blizzard, straight up blizzard. It's awesome. We are running out of grain in the silos. Might have to kill one of the oxen for food. It's the last one that we have, so hopefully we can make it through the rest of the winter.
Maybe sell a child to a bandit, see how it goes out.
Gypsy.
Right. Let's either sell the kid or eat it, so.
Win-win.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. And hey, you know, all that money you're saving on the college tuition, you can put towards beer, right?
That's right. That's why you have kids.
Well, yeah, exactly. The important things in life.
So, boys, are we ready to talk some first base here? I think we're going to start off with some ADP wars. And how we are basing this, listeners from last year are probably familiar with the format, but in case you're new here, we are taking similarly grouped players in ADP, and this is using strictly Fantrax ADP, because it's really early. I don't even know if Fantasy Pros has theirs out yet, but hey, we work for Fantrax now, so we're going to use them. So this is the Fantrax ADP that we're going off of right here. And the first matchup that we're going to have is kind of like, you know, who are you going to draft at this point? So Rhys Hoskins versus Edwin Encarnacion is going to be our first matchup. Hoskins has an ADP of 44, and Encarnacion is right behind him at 49. So definitely two players on the different ranges of the age spectrum. So, Tim, we'll start with you. Who are you drafting, Hoskins or Encarnacion?
I'm probably going to roll the dice on Hoskins. Well, when in doubt, I always tend to buy the Brett Laurie types, you know, those rookies with the high upside. So I'm going to go with Rhys Hoskins. At some point in time, Edwin's going to slow down a little bit. And I'm not saying it's this year, but I really like that upside potential. And when in doubt, I usually head in that direction, guys.
All right. So you also avoided saying the word Encarnacion quite a bit, pretty well. So kudos to you there.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. E5 is one of my favorite.
All right. So we'll kind of go around the horn here. Ben, we'll do you next. Which one of these guys are you taking?
The Nasty Cast going off in strong fashion here.
Don't call it the Nasty Cast for nothing, baby.
I'm not doing nobody, guys. Sorry.
We're hanging up.
There's a little bit of terrain between the two of us, so I think I'll give you a pass in this case.
Thank you.
All right, so E5 and Hoskins. I am going to take the opposite of Tim here. Actually, I'm going to go with E5, and this is probably the last year I would do it, simply because at this point in the draft, it's still fairly early. We're at pick 44 and 49. I want to be a little more sure that I'm going to get the production that I want to get out of the player. E5's real knock last year was a little bit of an injury-related type thing. I still think if he's healthy, he's a 40 home run threat who's going to provide pretty much every category, whereas Hoskins, I think he's going to be good, but there's more of a chance he's not good than Encarnacion's going to present in my mind.
All right. So, Rod, what about you?
I'm going to side with Van on this one just because I want to say Encarnacion. And the thing about it is, for me, you know, I'm always leery about, you know, being the guy that drafts the older player and you get stuck holding the bag when he does have that year that he falls off. I don't think it's going to be this year, though. And one of the things I look at that allows me to feel comfortable about this is I look at the lineup around Encarnacion, and I look at the lineup around Hoskins, and I feel a lot better about the one that they have in Cleveland, adding Yonder Alonso, Francisco Lindor, Jose Ramirez doing his thing. And so that makes me feel a little better as well. And it's not to say that I don't think the Phillies have the potential to score some runs. It's just that they have so many question marks in the lineup around Rhys Hoskins. The other thing that I might factor in a little bit as well is I don't know for sure how it's going to be with him moving to left field for the majority of the time as well. I don't know if some guys respond well to that, some guys don't. And so I'm not really sure what to expect from him, but I think I'm going to go and try to get the solid production that I know I'm going to get with Encarnacion in Cleveland.
Well, we're going to end up being split here, because I think I'm going to go with Hoskins in this scenario. I am a little bit worried about Encarnacion falling off just because he is 35, and we've seen, I mean, he's sort of a notoriously slow starter at this point, and I'm kind of afraid that one of these years he's just never really going to start, like Jose Bautista last year. And I think that Hoskins is close enough. I'm not really too concerned about one lineup or the other. I think if Hoskins hits like he should, or like I expect him to anyway, that he'll still supply plenty of runs and RBIs. And the on base should be there. I mean, everything that he did is, it was still a relatively small sample, but I like everything that I see. Over 80% contact and didn't reach out of the zone a lot. So I expect another really high walk rate. I don't know if he'll do 17.5% again. That's really high, but still. Should have an OBP north of 360, 370, I would expect, with plenty of power. And I think there's even upside beyond that. And I have more confidence actually in his contact ability than Edwin Encarnacion at this point. So I'm going to take Hoskins by a little bit of a hair. So with that, we'll move on to Will Myers versus Eric Hosmer. And Myers has an ADP of 68, and Hosmer is slightly behind him at 72. So Van, we'll start with you this time. Who you got here?
Well, I just want to first point out that the first thing I did when I was deciding who I would take here is put in parentheses just the word gross, because I don't really like either of these guys, or so I thought, because after doing a little bit more research, I'm a little more in on Will Myers than I probably was last year, just because we now have two seasons of production that kind of mirrors itself. And to me, counting stats mean a lot in fantasy baseball. So I'm going to go with Will Myers. We have 2 years of 25-20 production, and he's only 27 years old. I forget that because it feels like he's been around for a long time. I've hammered on Eric Hosmer forever, and I'm not about to jump aboard that train anytime soon. He pulls the ball too much, hits the ball on the ground too much, and I think if we get a season where he has like one 15-day DL trip, suddenly he's only going to hit 17 home runs. So even without a home, even with the chance that he gets a really good home, whereas Myers is likely playing in San Diego, then I'm still sticking with Myers.
All right, Ron, what about you?
I like the 20 steals at first base from Will Myers. I like what he brings with the 30 homers, but I'm gonna give a slight edge to Eric Hosmer just for the simple fact that the OBP is higher, and it all depends upon the league you play into, but the OBP is higher, batting average is higher. He did steal six bases, which I get that's definitely not 20, but anything you can get at a corner infield as far as steals, I'll take that. He only hit five fewer homers, and in the end, these guys could be teammates as well. We still really don't know where Hosmer's going, but yeah, I think it'll depend upon a little bit for me where Hosmer goes. It could affect him positively, but I don't think necessarily it's going to make me like him any less. But I got him in a couple places last year very cheaply, as far as for my corner infield, not necessarily my starting first baseman, and I was happy with that. I mean, I like them both, but I'm going to give the edge to Hosmer just by a little bit.
Okay. You've always been a Hosmer guy. I remember that last year, Van and I were giving you trouble about him. I think I'm going to go with Will Myers here because of the speed. It kind of startled me as far as like he had a real change in approach last year. His hard contact went way up over 41% last year, but he also, his contact rate dropped by about 5%. And you could pretty clearly see that he was trying to swing for the fences a little more, and it only resulted in two more home runs. So I would rather see a little bit more speed. I think that 20 plus steals is pretty safe. His cut ceiling rates are pretty low. So yeah, just because of the steals, I would rather take my chances with average and OBP any day, you know, just because that can be random as far as variation from year over year. So I'll take my chances that Will Myers kind of lucks into like a 270 average instead of a 240, 250 average, and enjoy those stolen bases. So we've got 2-1 Myers. What say you, Mr. McLeod?
It looks like it's going to be 3-1, guys. As the consummate speed whore, I'd be very remiss if I didn't jump all over Will Myers. As a matter of fact, I did. I'm currently doing a 50-round draft and hold at Fantrax, as a matter of fact, and I just picked Myers in the 49th slot. I want those stolen bases. I think 30-20 is not out of the realm of possibility, and I'm all over those counting stats. Give me those stolen bases early and often.
There's really not a lot of first basemen. You look up and down the list here, and you're not getting speed from very many of these guys at all. You know, you've got your Goldschmidts and your Rizzos, who occasionally take a year off as far as stealing bases, but they'll contribute a little bit. But otherwise, I mean, Will Myers is your best bet to sneak in some speed, and I always like doing that. So let's see, who's our next, our third and final matchup here is going to be Josh Bell versus Justin Bour as we climb down the ADP ladder a little bit. Josh Bell is at 178, and Justin Bour is lagging right behind him at 180. So Ron, we'll start with you here, Bell or Bour?
It's going to be Bell for me. He's one of my favorites this year heading into the season. He finished on a really positive note last year. And the thing that I look at, again, it's kind of, I looked at the same thing with Hoskins and Encarnacion, is the fact that the lineups around him, and not that I think the Pirates lineup is going to be great. There's a lot of question marks in that outfield in Pittsburgh, but I think Bell has a little bit more around him. I don't know who it was that tweeted out the other day when they were referring to Christian Yelich in the Marlins lineup, and they said that Yelich has 20-20 potential, meaning he could hit 20 homers and have 20 RBIs because there's not going to be anybody on base. And I think Justin Bour could be that guy as well. He could have a lot of homers and not a lot of RBIs. And plus, too, Justin Bour's hurt a lot. He's a guy that's on the DL, it seems like, about every other day. When you look at last season, he played 108 games. When you look at 2016, he played 90. He's solid when he's in there. I don't dislike him at all, but I just don't think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for RBIs in that lineup, especially if Real Muto and Yelich and now Castro is looking for a trade as well. So if those guys all leave town, it's even worse for him. He's kind of the last man standing there. Josh Bell played 159 games last year. The OBP is solid. He walks at a 10% rate. The average I'd like to see a little bit higher, but the pop's going to be there. The RBIs were there last year. He had 90. And so overall, I think I'm leaning a little bit more towards Josh Bell.
Oh, interesting. I think that I'm going to go Bell as well. That totally rhymed. I did that on purpose.
Excellent.
He did
sounded
have
swell.
Yeah. Whoa. What the hell? Let's go on. I got Josh Bell. I mean, I don't like that he had 50% ground balls last year. It's hard to do that and hit for power, and just 32% hard contact overall in the year. That doesn't indicate to us that any more power is on the horizon this year. You know, that was his problem throughout the minor leagues as well, as is this guy going to hit for any kind of power? And I think he actually overachieved a little bit last year with those 26 home runs. I think he's going to struggle to repeat that. His batting average could tick up a little bit, though, I think, to offset maybe a lower power output. He had just a 278 BABIP in 2017. I think that could come up a bit, and he walks a lot too. So both of these guys really actually get a bump in OBP leagues. So there's that. Bour, I was looking into his splits last year because he hit 253 against lefties, and he's always been just garbage against lefties. So I'm like, oh, that's not, you know, 253 is not bad, but that was on a 302 BABIP that was pretty undeserved. Just a 25% hard contact rate against lefties and 56% ground balls. So overall, I don't think there's any way he hits 289 again. The power is going to be there, but like you said, Ron, that RBI count is going to be pretty low in that Marlins lineup. It's going to be ugly.
2020, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm in agreement. Josh Bell here. Tim, Bell or Bour?
Well, I think I was the guy that tweeted 2020 on Yelich. So
there you go. Perfect. Perfect.
Ron's stealing jokes here.
I only follow the smart guys on Twitter. So,
what are you following me for? No, Justin Bour. How many RBIs is he going to amass? Even if he hits 35 home runs, he'd be lucky if he gets 65 RBIs. Bell last year, 26, 90. He's 25 years old. There's upside there. I really like Josh Bell. I don't think it's any contest. I think we got one of two situations here. Either Bell is seriously undervalued or Bour is very overvalued. How's that?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the latter on that one. But Van, do you have any dissenting opinion here?
I'm going to make it 4-for-4, but I am going to explain that this was a little closer for me simply because, well, Josh Bell going into the year, we knew he was a guy who really probably wasn't going to hit for power. He was going to have a decent average, so we thought, plus good OBP skills, but he was never really a power hitter in the minors, and suddenly we've got a guy with a 211 ISO. I don't know if he really is, you know, a 50-point gainer in his ISO like he was last year. I think those home runs really taper off. And if we have a 600 plate appearance season where he hits 12 home runs, that's going to be pretty tricky to take. Whereas with Bour, the whole knock on him is he can't hit lefties. But if you take Bour plus another guy that you can put in your lineups, particularly if it's a daily lineup thing, then you've got your 420 at bats or plate appearances from Bour and whatever you can get out of your other guy that you shuffle in when Bor has to face the left-hander. I don't like that he's on the Marlins, but I try not to do too much with roster or lineup things, particularly this early in the season, because we don't know what could happen. Bor may get traded. So I'm going to go with Bell just because I think there's a consistency that's going to be had here, but I'm not going to be surprised when he hits 270 with 12 home runs in a full season next year.
12? Yeah, oh, Bor. But who knows so what'll happen with that?
So what you're saying is we're not going to get saved by the bell?
Not quite this time.
Oh, no. Well, before we head into break, Tim, I've got to ask you, this is kind of reasonable season. Jesus.
Words.
Regional thing.
First date with a new tongue happening there, eh, Nate?
Yeah, I just had it installed. It's not working out too well.
Okay.
So one thing that we kind of left off on this foot last season on this podcast, and now that I'm staring at this spicy pickle jar that I have next to me.
Oh, no.
Have you ever been one to put a pickle in your beer?
I don't put pickles in anything. I hate pickles. I hate anything green that you... You couldn't force a pickle down my yap. I don't mind cucumbers, but not pickles. But that's just me. No, I wouldn't put a pickle in my beer. I would put it in the garbage can ASAP.
I agree with that, and thank you for proving us right. All right, high five, Ron.
Yes, yes.
You guys don't know what you're missing out on. Okay, we're gonna take a break here. We're gonna come back with some bargains, busts, and deep sleepers, baby. So baby, tell me what's the use? I said. Nasty. So take off all your clothes. I am getting so high. I will take my clothes off. All right, welcome back to the Nasty Cast, and we're going to move on into the bargains portion of the show. That is, essentially who's going too late, sort of the sleepers column, if you will. So, Tim, we will start with you here. What bargains do you have at first base this year?
Bargains at first base. Well, we just talked about him. I'm liking where Josh Bell's sitting right about now. I think we can boost him up a little bit on the old list. That would be my primary choice as far as a bargain is concerned. Nathan?
Very, very good. All right. We already covered him, so let's move on to Van.
Ironically enough, I'll take another guy we just talked about, and that's Will Myers. I think based on where he's going, I really do like those stolen bases at first base. And to be honest, we've got that 2 years consistency that I think he can do it again. So I'm all for it. And like you said, Nate, maybe he can just kind of wander into a 270 batting average. And if that happens, you've got really good value. The other name I just kind of want to throw out there is Chris Davis sitting at pick 227. That's low enough that you're really not going to hurt your team. And a good enough spot that if he bounces back, I mean, if you have another 40 home run season out of him, you could get some good value.
Ah, interesting. Well, do you have any thoughts on Chris Davis, Tim?
Yeah, I like the one in Oakland. Not so keen on the one in Baltimore. How's okay. that?
Yeah, you never really know where his batting average is going to end up. And it was definitely down this past year. So that makes him pretty damn cheap this year. So. Not the worst gamble in my eyes, but Ron, let's move on to you. Who's a bargain at first base for you?
All right. To me, this is a big gamble, but it's a guy that's been solid in the past. And I don't know. I struggled with this one a little bit, but I'm going to throw Miggy Cabrera out there just for the fact that, you know, when you look at, I know he's 34. I know he's getting up there. I know he's not the epitome of being in the greatest shape in the world. He's not, you know, he's not the guy you're looking at if you want to pattern your diet plan after him. But when you look at the consistency he's had over his career, I look at the games he missed last year, and I looked at when he was in the lineup, and you know, we talk about how, you know, the back injury, you know, hurt him a little bit last year, and I'm kind of wondering, you know, if that's a lot of that was mental, as far as, you know, some of that with, you know, being injured and trying to play through it, and maybe it caused him to struggle a little bit and maybe press a little more than he's used to, because you look at the consistency throughout the career, it's always there. And so I think he's a guy with, you know, sitting there, I think he's sitting there about pick 100, if I remember correctly, on the Fantrax ADP here. Overall, he's the 10th first baseman off the board. I think if he can just get right, if he can stay healthy and not let it affect him, psychologically, I think he's a guy that could pay off as far as where you're going to get him at.
He is a really, really interesting one. And he actually was on my bust list just because, you know, just to spoil the next segment that we're going to do a little bit. I get the risk, investment there. Like, you're getting a huge discount from what he's been throughout his career. I'm just worried that he's done.
And I have a sneaking feeling it's going to be one or the other. I don't know if there's going to be much in between. And it's one of those things that if I don't want to get him as my primary guy, but if I can get him a little bit later, kind of as my corner infield, or maybe, you know, somewhere along those lines, I feel a little better about it. But yeah, I'm with you on that. It's either going to be all or nothing, I think.
Yeah, so I'm just not going to worry about the risk, I think, this year, but it could pay off big time. I don't know, Van and Tim, what do you guys think about Miggy?
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, my problem is the back issue. Is it chronic? And if it is, we're going to miss at bats, and we're going to see that power sap pretty good. So I'm just staying away from Miggy. I'll let somebody else take the chance there. I got enough players I'm going to be gambling on. When it comes to back issues, that really concerns me. So I'm going to pass.
I kind of second that, and I think there's somebody in each league that's going to want to take that risk earlier than when I'm comfortable to do it. So I'm okay with that. I'll let that happen. The other thing I kind of want to point out is, you know, look at the career of Albert Pujols. Similar deal. It wasn't necessarily injury to the back. It was the plantar fasciitis, the feet, but just a complete disappearance of talent level there. And I think that we have to kind of be accepting of that. Even if these guys are the greatest baseball players in the world, we have to remember that they are human and human bodies break down. So I have to be personally more ready to say, I'm done with this guy, even though he was one of the best players in baseball, just because something like this may be happening, and it may be chronic, like Tim says.
Yeah, that is a fear. And so, let's see, we've got through everybody except for me. So I'm going to go actually and spoil a little bit of a mailbag question that we have later on, because everybody haven't asked about this guy.
He's going to do it again this year.
No. Jose Martinez.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
That's my bargain this year. He is the 24th first baseman off the board. 297 overall is his ADP on Fantrax right now. Love what I saw from him last year. Just crush lefties and more than held his own against righties. Made 80% contact. Swung on only 26 pitches outside of the zone. So I believe in that walk rate, 37% hard contact. Should have the gig as far as, you know, unless they sign one of the few guys that's still floating around. You know, I doubt that they would sign Hosmer at this point. So it seems like Martinez has the first base gig, and he played, I think, 40 some games in the outfield last year too. So he can move around a little bit, and you know, the multi-position eligibility is a nice little bonus too. So he's going really late, and I like him a lot. So much, I actually just traded for him this very day in my 24-team score sheet league. So
not
I'm expecting
fart
big things. Not the fart league, no. That had considerably less teams. And it was AL only. But anyway, we'll move on to our next segment, which is busts. And these are guys who we are likely avoiding given their ADP. Tim, we'll start with you again. Who is your bust for this year?
Well, I don't know if it's fair to call him a bust, but I'm really concerned about Justin Verlander. Okay, you know, he's coming off a great year, undeniably, but he'll be 35 in February, and right now he's going off the board, the 11th starter in the 44th slot, and that's just a little bit much for me. The other player that I'm very concerned about is Daniel Murphy, somebody else going very high off the board. You know, if that knee's not ready, you could be looking at considerably less at bats, and you're paying a pretty good price for both these guys. So I'm making it a point to stay away. That and Nelson Cruz, because he's old.
What about it? What about somebody who plays first base though, Tim?
Who's that? Matt Carpenter, you mean, in St. Louis? Oh, sorry.
Is that your guy? Okay.
At first base, I don't know if Nelson Cruz qualifies, but I'm really down on Nelson Cruz. I'm just avoiding that whole situation.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't think he qualifies at first base, but we'll take that. I think we went all around the diamond, but that's all right.
I just gave you my favorite guys that I hate, okay?
Yeah, that works. Hey, we'll take it. All right, Van, what about you?
You know, the big one for me on the first base list, of course, is Justin Smoak at number 11, pick 121. I just don't understand how suddenly one season we've got a guy who adds 50 points to each stat in his triple slash line, hits 38 homers, and is just amazing. I just don't believe it. I think there's a lot of question marks to be had about Justin Smoak, and I don't want to be anywhere near him. If he does it again, great. Good for the owner that has him, but no thanks. I don't want him on my team.
Very well. What about you, Ron?
That makes two Justin Smokes. You know,
you guys are missing the smoke boat.
We are. Apparently, that's fine. You know, it's once again, it's one of these standout years that where the hell did that come from? You know, and maybe this is what he can put up. You know, for a few years. You know, you look at a guy like Edwin Encarnacion. He was kind of a late bloomer as well with the pop and the numbers he's putting up. So I don't really know all this depends upon where you can get these guys. I mean, if it's enough value for you, great. But I don't know if it's something that I would be inclined to do unless it would be really late in the draft. And I think he's a guy that might be a little bit overvalued. So no thanks. I'm not gonna go there either.
I had the opportunity to watch Smoak in virtually every game. Being a Canadian, we get the Jays. He definitely reworked his swing. He made a lot of changes, and he laid off the inside stuff that was his nemesis, the stuff down in the dirt. So I'm a little bit more bullish on Smoak than most. But again, I caught 162 games of him, and definitely he made some rather serious modifications to his approach. And it'll be interesting to see if it holds true again this year.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tim. I feel like it was pretty much a wholesale overhaul.
You said that about Yonder Alonso, too, and then how'd that end up in the second half of the year?
Well, how was the first half? It was glorious. I think he got really unlucky. We'll get to him in the mailbag segment. But
oh, boy.
Oh, yes, we will. You shut up. I'm in on the smoke, but a bust for me at first base would be Mr. Eric Thames, who is the 18th first baseman off the board. He's at 178 overall. If you look at his season as a whole, it doesn't look that bad, but he had that incredible April, and then the rest of the season, he hit just 226, 335, 455, 20 home runs, a 31% strikeout rate, and against lefties, he just should not play against lefties. He hit 125, 205, 212 with a 40% strikeout rate and just 6% walks. I don't think that I'm too into Eric Thames this year. And then, yeah, secondarily, I mentioned Miggy earlier. So with that, let's move on to deep sleepers. And these are guys who have a Fantrax ADP outside the top 30. So, Tim, once again, we shall start with you here. Any first base deep sleepers that have caught your eye so far?
You know what? Somebody has to play first base in Kansas City, okay? And it's not going to be Hosmer. So, hey, if you're looking for at bats, we've got Brandon Moss or we've got Ryan O'Hearn. If you want to go real deep at first base, I'd throw a couple bucks down on O'Hearn. I think they're going to give the kid a shot.
Yeah, interesting. Real deep names there. Van, what do you got?
Yeah, a couple guys that I kind of looked at. Matt Adams last year actually showed some success if he can get some playing time with the Braves. I don't necessarily know how that pans out, but if he's going at pick 476, I think you could potentially do worse. So I like him there. And then Jake Bowers is ranked outside at pick number 496. The Rays are tricky because they don't like to call guys up ever. But if they do at some point, maybe there's a whole bunch of injuries or they just decide they want to do it, he's got the potential to provide some across-the-board production at first base, including some speed because he does have that. So there's a couple of names that I like that are going a lot later. Obviously, you hope Bowers comes up just because he's got a lot more talent than, say, a Matt Adams, but you never know. So Adams may wander into some playing time, and Bowers could hopefully potentially fall into some playing time.
All right, what about you, Ron? Who's your deep sleeper?
Well, I had Moss, too, and for the same reason Tim had him, just for the simple fact that he's a warm body that happens to be there, and they have no one else at this point. And so I'm throwing him out there just for that regard. And then I got to follow Van, too, and it's partially me being a homer, but Bowers as well is a guy that, you know, you have Brad Miller, is who they've got slotted in at first base right now. And so I think that they might be a little more inclined to give him a little bit of a shot as far as putting him there. Another guy threw out there, and you know, once again, this really drops off a cliff. And so I think at this point, when you're looking at these corner infield, these first base guys in your corner infield spots and for injuries or what have you, it's you're looking for homers, you're looking for power. Now, this guy goes kind of against that, but he's a guy that I kind of like the peripherals, and he's not got much in front of him, I don't think, and that's Sam Travis in Boston. I think it's very possible he could beat out Mitch Moreland at some point, depending upon if they make any other moves at first base. But Sam Travis is a guy that I think that is one to watch in spring training. That he's not going to bring you a lot of power, but he could give you a little bit of a boost later, you know, real late in the draft or off of waivers if he gets called up early in the season.
Country music superstar Sam Travis and his hit song, I've Got Blood on My Socks and a Monster in My Heart.
Did you just make up that song?
I did, yes. Hoskins. Who was our other? Yeah, Reese Hoskins is the other country music superstar. Yeah. They need to have a duet get together. It'd be great. Maybe Bronson Arroyo can play rhythm guitar for him.
Oh. Yeah, he looks like a rhythm guitar guy. But I tell you what, you guys have really offended me. You've besmirched the good name of Brad Miller. I like Brad Miller.
Boy, I sure didn't last year, but that's also because I owned him in several leagues.
Yeah, well, he was completely terrible in every sense of the word last year, but I think he got really unlucky at 265 BABIP. That's why he hit 201. I don't know. He still hit the crap out of the ball, and he took a lot of walks. I'm giving Miller a second chance this year. I'm alone on that island, apparently.
Does he even qualify? Does he qualify at first base?
He's not listed on the Fantrax ADP, so I don't think that he does. But he's expected to play first base right now. So
everything I've seen, that's who they have there, yeah.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too long before he qualifies.
Until they sign a random first baseman who doesn't have a contract like Logan Morrison again. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, I do like Miller there at that spot if he plays first base, just because the cost is going to be absolutely nothing.
Well, yeah. And yeah, let's face it, James Loney's still looking for work, right, guys?
Oh, jeez. There we go. Yeah, they'll sign him back. That'll be awesome. Let's see, 98 games at second base last year for Brad Miller. So that is the only place that he is going to qualify coming into the season. So we'll look for him to add eligibility at some point early on in the season. So my deep sleeper, you talk crap on him too, Ron. It's Mitch Moreland at 32nd first baseman off the board. So I didn't go super deep like some of you guys did. Overall, though, still 419th player overall. Hey, last year I said it. Don't be a bitch. Add Mitch to your roster. And I'm going to say that again this year. He seemed to actually make strides against lefties last year with a 37% hard contact rate, 25% line drives. And yet overall, he suffered from a poor 278 BABIP, and that seems pretty undeserved given his home park. And overall, his hard contact rate was 39%. So I think in that lineup, he should be in line for 150 combined runs and RBIs, although you know, on the downside, the next time he hits 25 home runs will be his first. So you're not looking at a ton of power there, but I think he'll get consistent playing time and, you know, should be the beneficiary of a pretty good amount of runs and RBIs. And so with that, that concludes our deep sleepers. Let's move on to the mailbag. And we've got just two questions this week, and we are going to start off with one from our buddy Ron at r_Lewis7 on Twitter. And by the way, in case you want to ask us questions next week, we'll be covering second base with Sammy Reed, and you can hit us up at NastyCastBGFS or, of course, all of our other Twitter accounts that we mentioned up at the top of the show. But we're going to start off with his question. He says, if bird is the word, what is the definition of the word? And he also says, who did the Royals start at first base? So, Tim, let's just stick to the first question first. Greg Bird, what is the definition of the word for him?
I like Bird. I think he's going to soar this year. I think he's going to stay healthy and be somebody you're going to want to turn a real healthy profit at first base. I like what I'm seeing. I'm happy with Greg Bird at first base.
All right. So secondarily, then, who did the Royals start at first base?
Well, I guess the other part of that question is, does anybody care? If they do care, I'm going to go with Ryan O'Hearn.
All right, yes, the aforementioned deep sleeper, so that works out well. Van, what do you think about what Lewis said?
Well, as far as what is the word for bird, it's mostly for me just a shruggy emoji and just a fart noise. And I've never been that excited about Greg Bird, and I'm
You're
still not excited.
You're always a poo-pooer.
I am, because what can Greg Bird do that's Logan Morrison didn't do last year? We have how many untold number of left-handed hitting first basemen, or just first basemen in general, who hit 30 home runs, decent average, walk a bit, but provide nothing else. And that's what Bird does in the best scenario, for my opinion. If the price is right, great, go for it. But it's just not a guy I'm that excited about. And you were all in on him last year, Nate, but I just don't have any interest. He just does not excite me for a lot of reasons. As far as Kansas City Royals, I agree with Tim. O'Hearn's probably the long shot, not long shot. He's probably the guy who ends up with the job, but I really do think they give it to Brandon Moss, at least in the outset. Or if there's, you know, just a random free agent still sitting out there, they'll sign him and see what they can get out of it.
Does this sound fair? A rolling Moss gathers no stones?
Absolutely. Very fair.
I think that's what he's going to do after he actually hits a ball, just roll over to first base.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's that old. Ron, what do you have to say about this query?
Bird's a guy that I like as well. I'm not as huge on him as you are, Nate, but I think he's going to have a solid year. Lefty that can have some pop at Yankee Stadium is always a good thing. And I think, too, with the moves the Yankees are making, I don't know if they're done yet. Maybe it'll take a little bit of the pressure off him as far as to come back. And you know, maybe he won't have that kind of sitting on his shoulders. He can kind of ease in to the gig. And as far as my prediction for the Royals, either Brandon Moss or I think maybe fourth game of spring training, they might have a contest and just have people from the crowd come in and hit balls, and whoever does the best is going to get the job, I think. So,
well, you know, I am close to Kansas City, so maybe I should take a trip up there.
You got as legitimate of a shot as anybody. So.
I can hit better than a lot of the Royals that have been on that team, I can tell you that.
As far as Bird goes, yeah, I was huge on him last year. Obviously that sucked because he lost basically the whole year due to injury. And I liked him partially because, you know, what I had seen from him and in the minors, and then he had that huge spring training. And, I liked his ADP sort of when we were talking about first base and when I was writing about him, and then all of a sudden he blew up in spring training and his ADP just skyrocketed and took a little bit of the bargain out of it. And now that's where I'm standing this year. It's like he is right now. He's a 14th first baseman being drafted right behind Matt Carpenter, just like a 1.2 in ADP right behind Matt Carpenter. And that's just going to be, I think, too rich for my blood on Bird this year, just because of, you know, we've got an injury track record on him now. Last year was horrible. That'll sink you. And, you know, like you said, Van, I think I would rather just wait on somebody who can probably give me similar production, even like a Chris Davis at 21, Logan Morrison, like you said, my sweet, sweet Jose Martinez down at 24. So, yeah. So I think I'm just going to skip out on Bird this year unless his ADP drops a little bit. I'm definitely not out on him as a career, but I'm just at that price. I need to see it a little bit before I'm ready to invest in him there. And I don't really have anything else to add as far as the Royals' first base position. I heard that, wow, God, now I lost his name. Who's that guy who used to start for the Rays?
Casey Kochman.
James Loney. Making James Loney sound good.
James Loney is the name I was trying to pull. Oh, God. Okay, so on to our next question from @55_boots, a question we alluded to a little bit earlier. Two guys I'm looking for later in drafts, he says. Alonzo in Cleveland and Jose Martinez in St. Louis. Will either get close to full-time at-bats, Tim? What do you say?
Is this the same Alonzo that hit 181 against Southpaws and managed to hit 10 of his 28 homers in May? No, I don't think so. E5 is going to steal at bats. Alonzo, 400 at bats max. Jose Martinez, what happened to Matt Carpenter? Isn't he still in St. Louis? Or am I missing something?
No, yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah,
because he's moving him to third base.
Well, they say that. I don't know how long that's going to last. He's had a lot of ankle issues over the past couple years that haven't taken him out of the lineup. So I think he still probably has it at third base. But I also think they're going to want to get Jerko in there. I think they're going to want to get I'm drawing a blank on their names now too. Wong, I think they're actually going to give it bats at second base. So I don't know. I foresee Carpenter playing a lot more first base and therefore knocking Martinez out of the lineup. So we'll get into that. Well, I guess here in a sec, but that's kind of how I feel about it. And I think that's how it shakes out.
Yeah, that's my thoughts as well, is that Jose Martinez is going to have trouble getting the at-bats unless he's one of the 17 outfielders that they wheel out there on a regular basis. And, yeah, I think they're pretty well committed to Ozuna, Pham, and Fowler. So you got a problem in the outfield finding at-bats for Martinez. And I think Carpenter is going to play the bulk of his time at first base. So, again, it creates a problem. I like Martinez as a player, but I don't think he's going to get anywhere close to full-time at-bats, guys.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and just continue mine on that. Exact same thoughts, and to add to it, Martinez was one of those 29-year-olds that just kind of showed up out of nowhere that the Cardinals are known for. Carpenter was kind of a similar deal. He showed up at a later age and was really good. So there's potential that he's going to be really good, but I just don't see him getting full-time playing or at-bats either. Neither of these guys should. Alonso can't hit lefties. Well, I shouldn't say should, because Martinez, the way he performed, he probably deserves to get full-time at-bats. I just don't see it happening. And I also think it'll be a little bit of the Cardinals kind of protecting him and making sure he doesn't get overexposed. So I say, you know, 450 at-bats for both guys sounds about right.
I'm going to say, too, if you know, I'm going to replace the word full-time with who gets the most, I guess, because I'm going to be right along with all you guys as far as I don't think either one will. But I look at maybe if you had to give an advantage to one or the other, I might give it to Alonso just for the simple fact that I don't know if they're going to necessarily sign him as a free agent and not try to get him as many at-bats for their money as they can. And with the Cardinals, I've seen it both ways. I've seen, you know, if you look at one depth chart, you got Carpenter at first. If you look at another one, he's at third, and Martinez is at first. So I think Carpenter's going to be all over the place, but I think that's definitely, you know, like Tim said, it's going to block him at first. It's going to block him a little bit in the outfield as well. So I'd give a slight tick to Alonso, but I think it's going to be very similar as far as the actual number they get.
Yeah, that's fair. As far as, you know, Van, you brought up, he's sort of one of those guys that the Cardinals just work their magic on and all of a sudden he pops up and he's good. So like his problems throughout the minor leagues, he never really hit for power. Like he was just sort of an on-base guy. And he, I think he did one of those, you know, I haven't read anything tangible, like as far as any swing change, like for if he was one of those fly ball revolution guys, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's the case because he did increase his fly ball rate quite a bit when he came up. Even if he misses out on more bets than he should, I think that they'll be able to find, you know, 500-ish at bats for him, and that's going to be good enough for this ADP. And so I actually like him for upside a lot more than I like Alonso. You know, we saw him really fall off over the second half of 2017. His OPS dropped from 934 to 774, drip dropped right down, like almost 150 points there. His ISO also dropped 121 points, but his hard contact weirdly actually improved a little bit. And really the only difference in his profile was a drop in fly ball percentage by 13%. So he probably should have had better numbers over the second half. But that said, Tim, you alluded to his numbers. They gave us his numbers against lefties and not good. So wouldn't be surprised if there's a straight platoon there.
Yeah, I think E5 is going to get some at-bats at first base. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree there. So I would go with Jose Martinez between the two. But that's going to wrap it up. That's our mailbag, and that is our first base preview with Mr. McLeod. So, Tim, go ahead and plug everything that you are working on right now. I know you're really excited about a project that we just interrupted you from.
Oh, yes. How could one not be excited about ranking the catchers? Yeah, those should be up by this weekend over at Prospect 361. And in my spare time, I'm also regularly posting at Patton & Company. You can find my book on the Bullpen Facebook page. And every Sunday night, the Prospect 361 podcast on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to thank you guys for having me on once more. And all the best to you in 2018, both in your work and your league play, gents.
Thanks so much for joining us again, Ron.
Ron. Thanks, oh Ron. God. We're so glad you joined
great to
us.
Be here.
Ron.
I'll see you guys. Take care.
Thanks,
rusty. This is the first Nasty Cast we've done in a long time. I'm rusty.
I thought you were Nathan. Now you're rusty. Oh, late.
I'm going to call him Rusty for the rest of the year. That's going to stick.
He's sort of a Griswold, isn't he, really?
A little bit. On. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to bleep this later, but butter's full.
Classic. All right, Tim. I never miss an episode of your podcast, and it's always awesome talking to you. So I thank you so much for joining us. Van, you got anything to plug?
Not really. I do, but I just want to use my time to do this and say that this is the first time since, of course, I've been on the Nasty Cast that the accent heavy portion of it has been equal to the what I would call non-accent heavy portion of it. So congratulations, Nate. You finally had a little bit of a secondary help there as far as getting the polite level up.
You know, Tim will do that every time. I got to call in reinforcements once in a while to keep you guys on your toes. Ron, do you have anything to plug or get out before we get out of here?
I'm just going to start up the On Deck Circle here at BGFS pretty soon. I think I'm going to do a column as far as a few prospects to kind of watch in spring training, maybe a few lesser known guys, and then that's going to kind of pick up once the season starts a little bit. I've also got a couple of things that I'm kind of throwing around my brain in the hopper there as far as fantasy baseball stuff that I'm not really quite decided on that you could see coming for me in the next few weeks. So I'll kind of keep that under wraps for right now, but we'll see.
All right. Thanks for that, Rusty. As far as me, I've got my course correction series continuing on Fantrax. This week, I'm going to talk about the young budding phenom, Javier Baez. There's too many Jose's on this podcast. So that'll be fun. Look out for that. And then also, I did a magazine mock draft a little while back, and I believe that's out now. The Lindy's Sports magazine, I believe it came out on the 9th. So check your newsstands for that if you want to look at my drafting prowess.
I'm glad you said that because I also did one for the RotoWire magazine, and I think it comes out soon. So I'm going to need to look into that as well. So there you go. You can check Nate and I out at various magazines on your newsstands.
Yes. Read us on paper instead of listing us in your ear holes. So with that, we will be back next week and previewing second base with Sammy Reed. That'll be a fun one. So until then, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.